This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 43 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. My guest on the show today is Satima Fowler. She's the co-founder and co-CEO of Capstone IT, a managed service provider headquartered in Rochester, New York. Satima is something of a mini celebrity in the Rochester area. She hosts a video series called Rochester Rockstars. She writes a column for the local paper. She's involved in the local community in a number of ways, and she does all this to drum up business for her MSP and raise its profile. Does it work? You bet. Under her leadership, Capstone has grown to 3 locations with 42 employees and about $6 million in sales. She talks to us today about her powerhouse marketing tactics, including the celebrity campaign, but also a few other really interesting and effective techniques. That's later in the show, but first, there are a couple of other Frankly MSP things I wanted to talk to you about. First is Frankly MSP Live, taking place in January 2020 in Santa Barbara, California. Do you have your ticket yet? Because early bird pricing is going to be done soon, but there's still time. If you grab your ticket before June 1st, you can still get $100 off the price. And look, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're a fan of this podcast, you're going to want to go to Frankly MSP Live. We'll have some of my past podcast guests there, but also a whole crop of new faces and voices, fresh content. It's going to be you, 150 of your MSP friends, we're keeping it quite small, and a whole lot of fun and learning. As we do on this podcast, we're going to be diving into what it takes to build and grow a successful MSP business in today's market. We're going to be talking about profitability, automation, IoT, team management, pricing and packaging, the works. So yeah, June 1st is when early bird pricing expires. Head over to franklymsplive.com right now to grab your ticket at the discounted pricing. The next thing I wanted to mention was a new edition of the Frankly MSP Brain Trust. The Brain Trust is where we pull together 4 MSP and business experts. They each chip in 2 hours of personalized consulting, and we give away that 8-hour consulting package to one MSP. We did the first Brain Trust back in February, and our winner was Jason Watts, co-leader at a 6-person MSP in Tasmania called Nevco Business IT Solutions. I just spoke to Jason last night, actually, to see how his consulting was going, and he said it has been, quote, a fantastic opportunity. He and his business partner are already making a number of very positive changes to the company based on the insights they've gleaned working with the Brain Trust. Still early days, of course, but Jason is expecting to see dramatic performance results in the coming year because of the consulting. We're now running a second Frankly MSP Brain Trust, where you can win time with Arlen Sorensen of ConnectWise. He's consulting on strategy and planning. Jackie Murphy from Avic Networks, consulting on marketing and business development. James Beyer of VAR Staffing, consulting on hiring and team building, and Richard Tubb, consulting on operations and growth. To enter to win, all you need to do is go to avic.com/brain-trust. That's avic.com/brain-trust and fill out the form. Now, the cool thing about the Brain Trust, apart from how truly phenomenal the grand prize is that we do a special podcast episode with the 4 experts on the panel, and that episode unlocks with your entry into the sweepstakes. So everyone who enters the Brain Trust sweepstakes gains access to this special podcast episode, and that's an episode that's not available anywhere else. You won't hear it in the regular Frankly MSP feed. In place of our One Thing segment, where we usually hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference in their business, I've decided to include a clip from that special Brain Trust podcast episode. This is Richard Tubb talking about one thing he recommends MSP leaders do to improve their business.
I think it's for the business leader to take a good long, hard look at themselves and say, okay, am I the person, as it stands today, who's going to be able to take this business to the next level? What do I need to learn? So Jennifer, I'm a massive techie. I'm a massive geek. You know, I love playing around with technology. But when I ran my MSP, that only takes you so far. Being a good technician only takes you so far. Then you need to start learning management skills. You need to learn how to be a better salesperson. You need to learn how to be a better leader of people as well. These are all skills that none of us are born with. We all need to learn. But there is a tendency for IT business owners when they've reached a certain size, you know, sort of 5, 10 members of staff, it becomes uncomfortable to stretch into these new territories of being a leader, of being a salesperson, of taking on all the different hats that you need to as a business owner. And so it's at that point that you need to say, right, how do I develop myself as an individual, as a leader, so that I can help other people within the business and so that I can grow my business so that I'm not getting in the way of my own business's growth.
That was Richard Tubbs speaking on the special episode for the Frankly MSP Brain Trust. To hear the full episode, which has the full interview with Richard, plus interviews with Arlen Sorensen, Jackie Murphy, and James Beyer, go to avic.com/brain-trust and enter your name. You'll automatically unlock the episode, plus your name will go in the draw to win 8 hours of consulting.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Now we come to my interview with Satima Fowler, co-CEO of Capstone IT, about the marketing tactics that have helped her MSP grow and grow. Hi, Satima. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. You are the co-CEO of Capstone IT, based in Rochester, New York, and you have an interesting story, which we're going to get into today. But why don't you start by giving us a little thumbnail sketch, because I think your company is different now than it used to be, right? It used to be much smaller and in one location, and now you're bigger in multiple locations. So tell us a little bit about that transformation.
Sure. So, you know, I think like many other MSPs, we kind of started with just one person, and that is actually, I'm not the IT person. Mike Fowler, my husband and partner in the business, he started the business. He was working for another MSP and for various reasons decided to part ways and then started Capstone. I'm an engineer. I'm an electrical engineer, and I was working at General Motors, and one of us had to keep working to pay the bills. And we started in 2003. I personally have always wanted to have my own business, but wasn't sure exactly what to do. I started to see Capstone, you know, kind of start developing and the need for it in the small, medium marketplace for a good quality IT support service. It got to the point where we felt like we can take the plunge and the risk of me leaving a six-figure salary to essentially both of us, our livelihood is going to depend on Capstone making this work. And so I joined in 2006. And I'll tell you, the first couple of years was really difficult because even though I have a master's degree, I know how to do project management, how to solve problems. What I did not know is how to make that phone ring. So what would happen is I would try reaching out to people. Nobody would take my call. I would do everything I thought was possible, but you know, nobody would take a meeting with me. So it got really depressing. I was like, how do I make the sales phone ring? Because that was going to be my only focus, and my job was to come and help grow Capstone. And I felt like a miserable failure at some point. So it was a low point the first couple of years. And then slowly but surely, we started to see, okay, what is it about sales and marketing? What can we figure out? Because do you just have to be like a born salesperson? Or do you just have to do something that like hiring a really high paid sales and marketing manager, which we knew we couldn't afford at the time. So it's like, how do we do this? Basically, I started reading every blog or book I could get my hands on. Then I started reaching out to other business owners who could like potentially mentor me. And those are the things that I started trying. And I think when you open yourself up to the universe, like the universe provides answers for you. And I was lucky enough to come across a marketer named Robin Robbins. And I went to her conference and we liked what she had to say so much. I just felt like nobody has ever talked to me like that before. I didn't know this world of marketing existed. So we purchased her program and, you know, we've been on our program ever since. And it really taught us how to sell the value of managed services, how to market to the pain points, and not just sell features, but the benefit, and then charge a fixed fee that is priced right, because a lot of MSPs, I feel like, do not charge enough for their services. So how do you charge right for your services? Well, you just have to solve enough pain points and show your value. And, you know, we just kept doing that. And as a result, we've been very fortunate. We've grown Capstone to over 6 million. And we have 3 locations now. We have about 42 employees. So we're based in Rochester, Buffalo, New York. And then we also have another service office started in West Palm Beach, Florida. So So that's where we are.
Yeah, starting out in 2003, and then you joined the business in 2006, and now here we are in 2019. So a lot of changes in the industry in those years. What are some of the changes that you've seen in managed services and IT support in the last 15 years?
The shift from break-fix model, where you're kind of being reactive and billing the client when they call you, to a fixed-fee model, we see that change has definitely taken effect. We also see people charging better prices now because they understand their costs a little bit better. So that's refreshing to see, because it's nothing like going into a prospect meeting and they tell you that you're double the price of your next competitor. It doesn't serve well anybody. And then, you know, obviously everything has gotten very security focused. So 80% of what we do is behind the scenes, some kind of proactive alerting, monitoring going on, so our clients are not going to see an issue. And then when they see an issue, we have really seen how responsive you have to be, because we live in the age of, we stand in front of a microwave and while our food is heating up, we're saying, hurry up, you know. People just expect quick answers, quick hits, and they don't have the patience to wait. So you have to be designed to react quickly. And the last part is, now even small businesses want a CIO level strategy and guidance for their business. How can they use technology to leverage their business? And they want that guidance from us. So I see more MSPs providing CIO level services at this point too.
And I know you've mentioned to me that one of the keys to your success with marketing and sales was really building a reputation for yourself as a business leader in the local community. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. I don't know if your audience knows of a gentleman named Mike Wolf from American Pickers. It's a cable show. It's a very highly rated cable show where he goes around and he pretty much goes to all these farms and finds antiques and talks about those antiques. And then he talks about the worth of those antiques and he sells them. Prior to that show, he's had an antique store called Antique Anthropology for years, and it was doing okay. But once he got this cable television show, his business, his Antique Anthropology business, took off. Now, if you go to one of his stores, he has several, but the one in Nashville, my God, there's like a line wrapped around the corner. And he said the success of that business happened once he became a mini celebrity. So he said, why don't you guys, in your own business, in your own market, become a little mini celebrity, and then you'll see all your other marketing is just going to take off. So that's what I did. My way of becoming a mini celebrity is, I have this thought leader video program called RochesterRockstars.com, where I'm profiling short little 10-minute videos of success-minded business leaders in my area, where they're telling their stories of how they achieved their success. And by doing that little initiative, there's local TV channels that have reached out to me. I got a blog, you know, I got a regular article in the business section of our local paper. Universities write about me. I'm asked to speak at events as a keynote. So all sorts of things opened up. And as a result, walk into a prospect sales meeting, I already have credibility built up because they've seen me elsewhere because of my mini celebrity status. So that has really helped us fuel our marketing efforts.
And in terms of investment versus payoff, like that kind of thing, I think could take a lot of time if it wasn't being focused well. So can you talk about how much time you have to put into it to see some payoff?
It is time consuming. I totally agree with you. But I will tell you the alternative. I'm not saying you have to do one or the other. I think they both have a place and you both have to do them. But for me, cold calling wasn't my thing. I hated cold calling. I was looking for an alternative to cold calling. So I was like, how am I going to get meetings? And once I get the meeting, how am I going to increase my chances of closing that sale? So that was my answer. If I can go out and meet lots of different business owners, become a thought leader in my community, could that potentially bring me leads? And indirectly, it does. Like with a cold call, you're setting an appointment and you're getting a direct lead. But when you're doing this, it doesn't take the place of your other marketing efforts. You still have to cold call. You still have to do direct mail. You still have to do email blast. You still have to do all those things, but those chances of lead intake gets higher if you're kind of well-known in the area. So for me, it was definitely worth my time.
And what are some other things you've done in the areas of sales and marketing to really amp your game?
After my celebrity status campaign, the next thing I would say is doing joint venture relationships with other businesses that sell into the similar market. For example, maybe a internet provider, maybe a software development company who does applications, maybe a bank even. So all these companies that you could potentially partner with and do lead shares. And we will refer a client who may be looking for faster internet, and the internet company may get a win that, hey, we're not happy with our other IT company. Let me bring in Capstone. And when a trusted advisor for a business brings in another company or refers another company in, you already have higher credibility. So our close rate for any leads that come in from those joint venture referrals really have a high close rate. And the third one is our website. We do a lot of work around our website, making sure it's ranking organically high. We make sure that we have original content. We have lots of content. And then we do a lot of blogging on different subjects that our potential prospect market are going to want to know about. Then we have links from credible sites back to our sites, like, let's say, the local newspaper. Because I write for them, there's a link back to the Capstone webpage. So we do a lot of things to build credibility and SEO authority for the website. We get a lot of leads from our website for all three locations. And then we do things like seminars. We do lots of in-house seminars as well as seminars with other companies where they are filling the room and we're filling the room at the same time. Those are successful for us. And then, believe it or not, direct mail pieces still work. So we will send out a letter, kind of introducing ourselves, and then we'll follow it up with phone call. And then we might get an email address from them and send it via email and another phone call. And so we'll do multiple touches like that.
Do you have an in-house marketing resource, or who's handling all of these projects and campaigns for you?
So a lot of our stuff is started and given to us by Robin Robbins, and then we've kind of made it our own, a lot of the stuff. So I have a marketing manager and a marketing assistant. The marketing assistant is really building our list. So where, let's say we get names, let's say we go drive around and find a lot of businesses out there that we think have a nice building, and we bring that information back to the office, and then we scrub them, meaning we call to verify how many employees they have, maybe what they're doing for their current IT situation, whatever information we can find, and then we're adding them to our prospect list. So we're constantly massaging our prospect list because we're using that list to now market to. Then for like direct mail pieces and things, we just use a local mailing house that can do it much faster than we can to get, like, let's say 500 letters out. So it's a combination.
So it's interesting. You said you actually drive around the city and look for good business locations?
Yeah, you can buy lists. And when you buy a list, I think we found that 33% is accurate. The rest is not accurate data. And then no matter how many lists you buy and how many ways you try to find information, there's still some businesses out there that will never make it to your list. So the only way you find them is by going to business parks or just driving around and saying, hey, you know what? I don't recognize this name. I'm going to take a picture of the sign. And then when I come back to the office, I'm going to Google search it and see what I can find. So we find a lot of new names that frankly never made it onto a list.
That's amazing. And you do that in Rochester and in Buffalo and in Florida, or just in one of the locations?
Yes. No, all three.
That's really interesting. Going back to the seminars and the joint ventures, how do you structure those relationships? Are they kind of formal agreements or just, you know, arrangements where you send me some names, I'll send you some names? How does that work?
Really good question. So the way joint venture works is the key to success is you got to find out what motivates the other person. And what motivates them is going to vary from person to person, from company to company. Some people we meet with, they want strictly just a dollar compensation. So if they give us a lead, we pay them a referral fee. And then if that lead turns into a sale, they'll get some additional money. They only want money. That's fine. Then there's people like we have a lot of this going on with a software development company where they do custom software application modifications. Like if you have a ERP system, they will come in and do like some bridge software so it talks to everything else. Well, that company and us, we don't share any money between us. We just strictly share leads. So whenever he's doing his work and he sees that they're complaining about their IT, he'll bring us in. And when any of our clients need software development modifications, we bring him in. Then there's others like a bank that we just did this with. They want their relationship managers to go out and talk to their business clients about how they need to protect their banking, their accounts from bank security, but then their business from cybersecurity. So we give them a coupon for a free network assessment, which we normally charge $100 a user for, but for a limited time with that particular bank, we're going to give it away because we feel like it's going to be a very high leverage activity for us. Because even though a network assessment takes a lot of our time, we feel that if the relationship manager is talking us up to their client, because since they already have a trusted relationship with their client, that that client is going to be a very qualified lead for us. So for them, that's what we do. We said, we'll do free network assessments for your clients.
That's brilliant. I mean, you know, when you talk about joint ventures that MSPs can do, I think a lot of people would naturally gravitate towards like other types of technology providers like the ISP that you mentioned, but not even consider some of those sort of more peripheral service providers like a bank. But absolutely, if they have a trusted relationship, that makes total sense.
Yeah, I think the light bulb went on for us when we said, look, every business, every person wants to touch their clients more, wants their clients to know that they care. So how do you do that? If every time you're picking up the phone and trying to sell them another bank product or whatever it is, your clients are going to say, okay, every time they call me, it's to upsell something. But isn't it refreshing if the bank person, instead of trying to sell a bank product, said, look, I really care about you and I care about your business. So we partner with a company called Capstone, and we've arranged for them to come in and do a free security audit of your entire business. And they're only doing it because you have a relationship with us. Now, that elevates that bank and positions the bank in a very trusted advisor role, and they win. And so when we pitched that concept to them, light bulbs went off in their heads, and they started selling our services to them.
And what kind of results have you seen from that program with the bank?
Those are always the best ones. When you can turn other businesses into your salespeople, it is so much better because now somebody else is selling our services rather than us. So the end prospect is going to always think of us as with higher credibility than if we called and tried to set that appointment.
Parting advice for any MSP who's sort of, you know, in the market today and looking at how they can improve their business.
Start with goal setting. Know what you want to achieve this year in terms of revenue, and what does that mean if you want to grow by a certain percentage? How many deals do you have to close? What is your average deal size? Once all that is crystal clear about how many new clients you need to bring in, then you can figure out a plan on how to get there. And I'll tell you, sales cures everything. I think a lot of MSP owners, they would rather do the tech stuff and try to get the service perfected and not focus on the sales. I would say 80% of their focus should be on how are they going to grow the company. Sales cures everything. Once you have the business, once you have new clients, you can figure the rest out. Maybe you won't get the pricing right for the first couple, but eventually you'll get the pricing right. And so all that can be figured out. So don't worry about all that. focus on getting yourself out there, making yourself vulnerable and putting yourself in an uncomfortable position because none of us like to sell, and then turning it into how can I help all these business owners and how can I help my community and get out there with that mentality and focus more on that, focus on the business, and you'll see the results start to happen.
Satima, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully this was helpful.
That was Satima Fowler, co-CEO of Capstone IT. As always, I'll put links to everything discussed on today's show notes, including Frankly MSP Live, the Brain Trust, and all of the things that Satima talked about at avic.com/franklymsp/043. Remember to stop by the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn to talk to Satima and other MSPs, to ask questions, or to share strategies that have worked for you. And don't forget to grab your ticket to Frankly MSP Live before June 1st to take advantage of early bear pricing. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP. Brought to you by Avic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.